Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart. This episode is called What's Your iTunes? Or Bytunes, as Mike King liked to... He liked that title better. iTunes or Bytunes, whichever you prefer. joining me on the line, first up, is Mr. Richard Reeder. How's it going, Rich?
Good, good. Just, hanging out, trying not to have technical difficulties, failing miserably, the usual.
Excellent. And last but not least is Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kev?
Hello. Speaking of technical difficulties, I was trying to load up my LimeWire software for this program and everything crashed.
Did you hear that somebody got caught using MIRC or IRC a couple weeks ago?
Where?
I think it was in the States.
No,
it was like a student. It was like a student at a university or something, I think. There was like one or two kids that were using IRC to try and download and pirate things. And it's like, yeah, we can find that stuff real easy now, guys.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
All right. So for this episode, we are talking about music. And specifically, what we listen to, what's on our playlists, you know, because we all have smartphones, we all have MP3s, that sort of thing. You know, what do we listen to? So let's go around the room, and I want to ask you guys, who are your favorite bands? Rich, who are your favorite bands? Who do you like to listen to?
Well, I guess that depends on, like... on a regular basis is different than like, you know, kind of like all time favorites sort of thing. So I would say as far as like all time faves or like what's on like near and dear to my heart sort of thing is definitely very different. And I would have to probably start with that. And I'd go on probably say something like, I don't know, maybe like Rolling Stones are great, like pretty much any classic rock, but especially the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, because I grew up on both of them. My dad is a huge fan of both. We've followed the Rolling Stones around the country on their Bigger Bang 2005 tour. We went to like five different shows around the country. It was super fun. We were supposed to see them this year, but just the whole technical difficulties as usual with me. I'd say those two. And then as far as like newer ones, I would have to say Marshmello and Martin Garrix are probably the two people that I listen to the most in general, just as far as my favorites go. I mean, there are other people that I listen to more, but I don't know if I would call them favorites. But we'll get to that later. I'm saving my extra crappy guilty pleasure music for later on.
Excellent. All right. Well, for me, Rich and I did a two-part episode already on them.
I was about to say, this is going to be no surprise.
And that's Queen. They are my favorite. And then I'm also a huge AC/DC fan. I've been an AC/DC fan since I was a little kid.
Oh, nice.
I've been a Queen fan since I was a little kid too, but, and I got some Canadian content here. I'm a huge, Tragically Hip fan. I've seen them in concert. Back in 96. They did that tour here a couple of years ago, before Gord passed away, the lead singer. I didn't go to that just because I really don't like going to concerts.
You didn't want to see him in his worst?
No, it wasn't that. Like, he did an amazing job. Like, I watched the CBC live broadcast, like the final show.
Yeah.
But no, it's just I'm not a huge fan of crowds.
No, I agree with that, especially as I grow older.
Yeah, and
I standing at concerts too. I'm like, give me some seats.
Yeah.
Just let me sit down. Like, I'm old now. Let me sit.
Well, not just that, but I knew it was like their final tour, right? So I knew it was going to be crazy. I knew, you know, like it would, yeah. Like, my sister and my brother-in-law went, and they said it was fantastic, but I don't think they'd ever been to a Hip concert before, so that was like, they had to go, right?
Last chance.
Yeah, whereas I went in 96. Another Canadian band that I really love is Crash Test Dummies.
They're Canadian? No way, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Winnipeg, I believe. Yeah. No, I've seen them twice. I saw them in 99. I saw them last fall. They came to a casino, which is about an hour from where I live. And, yeah, they're fantastic. Cool. Nirvana. I'm a huge Nirvana fan. Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Another band I saw live back in 97. That's Metallica. Awesome show. Awesome. But yeah.
So no Rush? No Rush in with your Canadian content?
No. Like, I like Rush, don't get me wrong, but they're not one of my favorites.
Okay. I was like, just saying, like, you started with all this Canadian content, and I was like, every single time you finished, I was like, okay, next he's going to say Rush. All right. Oh, okay, next he's going to say Rush, for sure this time. Well, no, all right. Next time, for sure, 100%, he has to say Rush.
Well, honestly, because you're...
21, 12 times later, still hasn't said Rush.
Well, the thing is, Rich, you're, like, more on the eastern side of Canada, where I'm more western side. Rush, I know, is huge in the Maritimes, because I think they're from Nova Scotia, I want to say.
As long as they're not from Quebec, I'll still respect them.
Whereas, like, Crash Test Dummies, like, you didn't know they were Canadian, but I knew they were Canadian, and I knew they were from Winnipeg.
Yeah.
No. So like, I guess maybe it's an area thing. Like, maybe I would have been more into Rush, you know, if I lived more in the east. I know, like, my parents were huge Rush fans.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, Mike, your favorite bands. Or, sorry, okay. Not Mike, Kevin. Mike. Sorry.
Mike's...
No, I got Mike on the brain because I wrote the Bytunes because he wanted to call this episode Bytunes because iTunes is going away or has gone away at the time of this recording. So I have Mike written.
Wait, what?
I got Mike
written. Yeah, it's Apple Music now.
Yeah, it's Apple Music.
Oh, Apple Music, but that was Apple already Podcast, a thing,
Apple
right?
TV now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've slowly been doing that for like the last few years, but then they finally made the announcement. iTunes are gone.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
So anyway, sorry, Kev. Your favorite bands.
So side note first, before we get into that, I want to appreciate my neighbors to the north here in Canadian music. We talked, it may have been off air, I can't remember last time, that I grew up in Watertown, which is closer to the Canadian border than to another U.S. city.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the radio stations crossed over. I think we got K-Rock out of Kingston, clearly.
Oh, nice.
And then Much Music was on our cable system, too.
Hmm.
And then we also got CKWS and CJOH out of Canada as well.
Oh, wow. CJOH is actually out of Ottawa. That's my local station.
Ton of stuff that I should not otherwise, as a U.S. citizen, be exposed to. Mm-hmm. But we got Tragically Hip, of course. If you were male of a certain age and you didn't like Tragically Hip, then there was something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tea Party.
Nice. Nice.
I went to Matthew Goodman.
Awesome.
So, you know, like stuff that we shouldn't have known, but did because we're closer. So shout out to Canada there. But for me, and it's only been something as I've written more, and on Mondays on my site, I usually do like a musical thing, and I've been trying to deep dive more. I got sick of radio this year. I love my local morning show, but that's about it. I'm sick of the same songs being played. So I've been trying to open myself up more and look at what I liked in the past and what I like now and what my interests are. And I think... A lot of the things I enjoy, I think, come from being educated in Catholic school system from K to 12. And where I'm going with that is, hey, you shouldn't listen to this music. And that just made me want to listen to it even more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So lots of Evanescence.
And yeah. And
Creed.
And it continues to this day, though. Because I see a lot of the music I like. All right, Chris, what's our rating here before I make a point? Trying to debate how cleaned up swearing. I should make it.
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
Just don't incriminate yourself.
Nope. All right. So my overall point here, there are three things, three forms of entertainment in the world that are done by professionals who are trained to put a certain show on when they're on camera, when they're on stage, when they're wherever. Mm-hmm. And people that are in on the joke love it and they're in on the joke and understand it's a performance and this is not to be taken seriously. And then the people who are not in on the joke that think it's real and ruin it for all of us. And those three things are pro wrestling, heavy metal, and pornography.
Huh. Interesting.
So, I love the theatrics of metal because it's real close to comics and wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to go back, hey, let's take an immigrant child from Israel, bring him to the United States, and say, here you go, buddy. Here's rock and roll and comic books. What else is he going to come up with but Kiss?
I was going to say, yep.
Wait, Gene Simmons is from Israel?
His parents are.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep. So this has like formed the stuff that I love. So in short order here, and yes, Rich, I have notes again this week. But I love...
I thought you said you were winging it. Damn it, you're making me look bad.
Nirvana was brought up earlier. My favorite Seattle one was Alice in Chains.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Them bones.
By far. Man in the Box, to go to, again with the wrestling, and I apologize, Chris, but Tommy Dreamer and ECW coming out to Man in the Box by Alice in Chains made him my hero
for years. I only discovered Alice in Chains myself in like the mid-2000s, and I got obsessed with them for a good 6 months. I was just like, oh my god, this is amazing. I've never heard anything so amazing.
Alice in Chains Unplugged. I love Nirvana Unplugged. Yes. I think it's one of the greatest albums of a generation. But I still love the Alice in Chains Unplugged as well.
I think Alice in Chains Unplugged is better, personally.
Yeah. It saddens me. I will never see them. But Beastie Boys are one of my favorites ever.
Nice, yep.
I just saw two of them live not too long ago. Like, two out of the three of them got together, and I got to see them live. It was really, really cool.
I'm just absolutely amazing when you see... They still don't get the respect they deserve, and they'll be discovered for generations. People will go, oh my god, what is this?
I'm so sad I never got to see them as a complete set.
Yeah, there's a concert film from, oh my god, almost 10 years ago at this point, probably. What's it called? Who effing shot this? Mm-hmm. Where they gave like 100 people in the crowd cameras and said, go nuts. You just That's have really to return cool. the camera at the end of the concert.
How many did they get back?
All of them. It's part of the deal. But one of my early jobs, I played Hello Nasty. We could control the music. I played Hello Nasty the entire time. I was there. Love the album. I'm currently writing something up for another site about Paul's Boutique. Because it's an anniversary year for it. I can't say too much. I can't say enough good stuff about it. Mm-hmm. It's gone on, so I'm going to just speed ahead a little more. I love Faith No More.
Oh, nice.
Epic is one of my favorite songs of all time. And the more and more I'll discover stuff from them, the more I realize just how amazing they are. Anthrax. They had an album when I was 16 years old called Sound of White Noise that is still one of my favorites of all time. I know every song on that front to back. And I listened to a live version of some songs earlier this year, and they were songs I didn't like, but hearing it live, I'm like, I have to see them live, because now these are my favorite songs.
They just
something about energy.
They were just in Ottawa like a couple months ago, actually.
Oh, they're just everywhere.
There was Anthrax and...
The Slayer Tour?
Yes, thank you. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I missed it here.
Yeah, I missed it too. And you know who else is coming that would be cool that you might like? Because they're kind of heavy metal-ish, and they're coming next week. My wife said I couldn't go because it was sacrilegious, but Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson together.
Rob Zombie.
The Twins of Evil tour or something, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. But she was like, yeah, we're not going to see them.
Rob Zombie / White Zombie next on my list.
Oh, there we go.
I was scared to get into it when I was younger. I was like, oh, this is devil music. I'm Catholic. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. But then I realized the act, the show, the performance of it. And I still once don't you're think on the joke, it's so good.
I think I only ever heard Rob Zombie. I don't think I can name a single White Zombie song I've ever heard.
Oh, the beautiful thing for... One of the things you'll realize the more you dive on Rob Zombie and White Zombie is how much is based on cult film. So More mm-hmm. Human Than Human is actually about Blade Runner. Thunderkiss 65, which is one of their big songs and was used as a, you might remember as an ECW theme, is Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. So the more you discover stuff, then you want to watch the movie, and now your whole repertoire of knowledge is growing. Finally, for a recent band, I love Ghost. I love Ghost so much.
Ghost. That sounds familiar. I feel like I used to have one of their albums.
It is the most over-the-top production.
They're kind of metal-ish. They're very metal-ish, right?
Yeah. He comes out. Yeah. It's all mystery. They're all under mask. You don't know who is who. You don't know who's playing the role. They mm-hmm. do like this dark mask kind of thing. Every song can be interpreted in multiple different ways. I'm actually going to see them in October. It's the first concert I've been to in like 12 years or something. But I said, oh, wow. This is a band I have to see live.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, I went on long enough.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. So I have a quick question for you guys. Because you're talking about some controversial, artists or whatever. Is there any artists that were controversial that you like, and what was the controversy? That's my quick question to all of you. So, honestly, when I was early teens, I wasn't allowed to listen to Nirvana. Like, my parents would not allow me to listen to them. The reason being, there was a kid, I think he was my age, actually. He might have been a year or two older than me. When this was in Edmonton, and he shot himself. And the way the story goes is that when his parents went into his room or whatever, Come As You Are by Nirvana was playing on a loop. Mm. And that's, the song where, the lyrics, I don't have a gun.
I don't have a gun. Yeah.
And I remember one of our local city papers out of Edmonton did this big expose about this and about how, Nirvana and bands like Nirvana are bad for children to listen to, blah, blah, blah. And my parents got a hold of that, and I wasn't allowed to listen to Nirvana for years.
Which, of course, meant that you tried to listen to them more?
Oh, yeah. I'd go to my cousins, and, my auntie and uncle didn't care. They mm-hmm. cared, but they had no problem with him listening to Nirvana, but my cousin was more of a musician, though. Like, he liked playing guitar and stuff. Like, he still plays guitar, but he had to listen to music in order to learn how to play music. So, like, his mm-hmm. parents never restricted his music listening. Whereas, like, my parents, when they read that story, were like, no, you can't listen to Nirvana.
Hmm.
Another controversial thing. Do you guys like Nickelback?
I probably like them more now than I did when they kind of came out and they had that whole like go away heat.
Yeah.
Like they went the like kind of like Creed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not that I like Creed more now than I did then, but they had that same sort of stigma about them as Creed did when they came out, and they had that, like I said, that go away heat. But I don't mind them now. Like I listen to some of their music, not necessarily on purpose, but it'll go through just when I'm listening to Spotify, like randomly, like I'll just tell it to start playing random music and I'll hear a song or two and I'm like, oh, like that's not bad. Or like, oh, that song, like what was that? That was some cool lyrics to the like Nickelback. And I'm like, holy fuck. Plus I've heard through friends and relatives who have both seen them live and met them in passing or, gotten backstage passes and got to meet and greet. I've heard that they're all very wonderful, nice people, super kind, generous. And I've also heard that they put on one hell of a live show.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. It's funny because, I always liked Nickelback. I didn't realize that a lot of people didn't until I got on the Atomic Geeks forum, like back in the day. Like, and we were talking, I don't know, like the one of the threads was, you know, music. And
I wish that site was still there.
Yeah, me too. And I said, well, I like Nickelback. And, like, nobody liked Nickelback. Everyone was hating on Nickelback. I was like...
I probably jumped on that, too, I'm sure.
But I was like, because they're from Alberta. And I was like, well, they're an good old Alberta small-town band that, you know, made it famous.
Just some good old boys.
Yeah.
Well, they became a punchline. And it's, how can I miss... And also overplayed, so it became, how can I miss you if you never go away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you, and in the States, we're not quite there yet, but probably about a year away, it's going to be not nostalgic because it hasn't been that long, but almost, oh yeah, I remember this. I like this song because I didn't hear it every day anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're close to our coming back around for it, but it was a joke. It was a horrible joke for a while, just disrespected. I'm sure, well, you know, sales dropped around here and everything.
Well,
because it wasn't their fault that they were popular and overplayed.
Well, not just that, but I think, like, they fell, and I mean, they've admitted this, that they fell into the rock and roll, you know, lifestyle, you know, the drugs, the women, the booze, you know, like, they did a song about it. Rockstar, that's what it was. And
isn't that the one with R. Kelly and Kid Rock?
I don't know. I want to be a rock star.
Okay. Now you're changing it. Okay. Never mind. Nope. Yeah. No, different song.
Anyway.
I'm thinking of yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, they got this reputation of kind of being dicks, but I mean, they were probably under the influence at the time. But yeah, like, and then I've also heard, like, what you said, Rich, that they're actually really nice and everything. But
they are Canadian.
But to add to what Kevin was saying about how, you know, it was overplayed and now it's coming back and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I was walking through the grocery store, I don't know, a couple months ago, and that Cher song came on. You know, Do You Believe in Love?
Oh, the one where she sounds like a man.
Yeah, the auto-tune, like that's when auto-tune like just started or whatever. And I'm thinking, man, I hate this new Cher song. And then I thought for a second, I'm like, wait a minute. This song is like 20 years old now. This isn't... Like, I mean, it's probably one of the last songs she ever released or whatever that actually charted anywhere, but it's like, yeah, man, this song is 20 years old now, and for some reason, I still think of it as Cher's newest song.
It's true, yeah, so do I.
But anyway, do you guys have any controversial music choices?
Kev?
That, ones we can't do, anything I'll still listen to.
Yeah, or any way you want to spin it. Any way you want to spin it. I could ask you guys real quick, Michael Jackson. Like, do you guys still, like, I don't know, maybe you guys weren't fans to begin
It's so tough. Like, R. Kelly's going to jail for the rest of his life soon here.
Yeah, R. Kelly.
And I flat out said, I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, I'm not listening to a song of his ever again in my life. She's like, well, you didn't really to begin with. It's not like he's out a ton of fans and money here by you not listening. When's the last time you heard it? I was like, probably when I didn't want to and some store was playing it, you know, a year ago. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, all right, so you're right. I'm not making a stand here. Michael Jackson is so tough because it is some of the greatest music made. Mm-hmm. Throughout all of the 80s when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm. And some of the 90s too.
Yep, and we don't officially, technically, legally have, you know, guilt here. Yeah. All the pieces are there. They're just not put together. And I'm torn. You know, certain songs come on the radio and I'll crank it still. I was like, this is such a great song. And it's older ones too, because Thriller was big when I was growing up. And then mm-hmm. Bad, of course. But the ones from Off the Wall now, I think, are some of the best. Don't Stop to Get Enough, Pretty Young Thing is mm-hmm. underrated and all. I was like, oh my gosh, these are fantastic songs that aren't his big songs, and they're still great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think from it, I'm like, but, big but here,
mm-hmm.
you know, what did he do with that money? What sort of influence and power and everything? and I really don't know yet. I think the only reason I don't know is because it has not been confirmed.
Yeah.
There's enough stuff where you're like, well, maybe this, maybe not. If something came out today and said, he's guilty and here's the proof, I would be done.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. But just because there's nothing concrete, I'm willing to give it the gray area. And I will not support certain things if I feel a way about it. Mm-hmm. If you guys remember when, like in the 90s, when Calvin Klein had like those heroin chic ads, I was like, I'm done. This is, and underage models, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanting to be a popular kid in high school, you bought Calvin Klein stuff. I was like, no, I'm out. And I would never buy anything again. And I'd flat out tell people, why not? I'm not supporting a company that glorifies drugs, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So I will stick to it when I feel something goes far enough. And I don't know why Michael Jackson's just not far enough for me yet. And I don't know why.
I hear you. I completely agree, man. Like like you watch like that HBO documentary, like that was rough, man. It was rough to watch that. And you know, you do like, I really don't like, I don't know these guys, but from what I've seen on TV, I don't understand why they would lie about this. But at the same time, like you say, there's no like, if there was a video or something that proved he was guilty, then yeah, I'd be done. But I haven't seen
it. To get on music for a moment, I'm not watching anything Charlie Sheen does ever again. He is obviously a piece of garbage that ruined a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
So I don't care that Two and a Half Men has played, you know, 500 times a day. I'm not watching it.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, is there any other controversial choices before we move on to our favorite singers?
Well, I mean, for me, and this kind of goes along with the whole, like, you know, getting thrown in jail for life and whatnot. Like, hey, I want to say that, like, when it comes to, like, Michael Jackson, especially Michael Jackson, I definitely separate the music from the man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just able to do that. I'm one of those rare people where I'm like, you know what, like, whatever he did in his life, like, that sucks, and I'm sure he hurt people, and I hope that they are able to get through it, and they did get through it and whatever, but he changed music forever, and he changed it so much, and I'm just able to separate them. Like, if he was to come out guilty or whatever the heck he did, you know, like, that would suck, but at the same time, like, I can't stop, like, that music is a part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it was, and just because he did something doesn't make that music any worse. It makes what he did worse. Mm-hmm. The music is still there. The art is still there. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if somebody, you know, I don't know, Picasso or something, you know, like, turned out to be a rapist his whole career, you could still appreciate his art.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, his art isn't any different because of what he did in his life. It just makes the person who made that art a complete and utter douchebag, or much worse things that I won't say. And so going off of that, for me, one of my, and I was going to say this in my guilty pleasures kind of area, if we were going to do that, which I'm not sure we were, but I'll throw them in here. For me, my biggest one is Takeshi 6ix9ine. I absolutely love Takeshi 6ix9ine. I have loved him for probably the better part of 2 years now. I still constantly listen to him. He's on the top 10 songs that I listen to. He's on the top 5 artists that I listen to. I don't care if he's a snitch. I probably would have snitched too. You know, like, and to me, I don't know if I'm definitely sure, Chris, that you probably know nothing about him because he doesn't seem to be in any area that you would research or hear or see. Kevin, I think you might have heard of him just because he's kind of from New York. So that might be something you may have heard of. But he's a controversial rapper who doesn't really actually have a lot of talent per se, but it's all about his gimmick. And I'm a sucker for a gimmick because I love wrestling and I understand the gimmicks are everything. And it doesn't matter if you're a wrestler or if you are an artist or if you're an Instagram star or a Vine, a YouTube person or a musical artist. Everybody has a shtick. Everybody has a gimmick that they're selling. It may just be that this is you turned up to 10. Like, you know, Austin likes to say about how the best wrestling gimmicks are made is you take you and you turn the volume way up. That might be it. It might be that you are playing somebody that's not even close to you. But with Takeshi 6ix9ine, he basically made it seem like he was more hardcore gangster than he really was. All his music videos are just basically, you know, 50 to 100 people all wearing different colors of bandanas, pretending to be in gangs, pointing guns at the cameras, at least his older music videos. But he got put away for a whole bunch of stuff, and he will most likely be in jail for the rest of his life. And it's funny because when I went to New York recently and we were walking around in New York City, particularly in, where did we stay? We were in Brooklyn. And a couple of times I heard people, you know, they're just out on their front lawns, you know, a whole bunch of younger people or whatever, listening to very loud music out on the street. And I would hear one of his songs come on and I'd be like, oh, honey, this is great. I love this song. And then like 3 seconds into the song, they would switch the song or they would start and they would listen to like the Nicki Minaj verse. But then as soon as he comes on, they'd switch the song. And people in New York like hate him. Even like Snoop Dogg has come out and said like, he's not allowed back in the rap game. Like snitches get stitches. He's going to end up in a ditch. Like people hate him, but I love his gimmick. I love his rainbow hair, his rainbow teeth. The fact that he's got 6969 tattoos all over him because that's his fucking name. Although I have to admit, if he does get out of jail, it's going to make it really hard to get into witness protection program when you have a giant, you know, 6ix9ine tattooed on your face and that's your name. Like, but yeah, I love him. And then another one that is definitely less controversial, but still, I would say controversial in some people's minds as far as like, should she even be a musician, would be Bad Baby. I'm a really big fan of Bad Baby. I'm guessing...
Please explain Chris who Bad Baby is. He doesn't know.
Okay.
I have no clue. No clue.
I'm happy you know who Bad Baby is. So Bad Baby is Danielle Bregoli. Ringing any bells? No?
No.
I'm taking it? Okay. She's the Cash Me Outside girl from Dr. Phil.
Oh, okay. I know her. She's a singer?
She's a rapper. She's a rapper now.
She has a recording contract, right?
Yes, and her songs are definitely like she doesn't make her own music.
She has a couple that are catchy as hell.
Oh, there's a lot that are catchy as hell, and the problem is, I get really depressed when I think about it. But she just turned 16, and she released her debut album, 16, and it. Like, you know, charted top charts, made her a shit ton of money. Then she signed a $950,000 contract with a makeup company. And then just recently she signed $1 million music writing contract, which I'm like, you don't even write your own songs to my knowledge. How'd you get $1 million contract for this? But whatever. And of course, she's making tons of money off of her YouTube channels and her YouTube music as well. And causing like she just beefs with everybody on Instagram. And Chris, in case you don't know what beef means, that's when you fight with somebody.
She's making a fortune being glorified white trash.
Yes. Oh, totally. But her music is very catchy, and ironically she actually has some very good producers. One of her producers for one of her catchier songs was Ronnie J, who actually also produced a major feud, and he produced both songs on both sides of it. He produced an Eminem song and a Machine Gun Kelly song. And both of those songs were pointed like literally at each other when those two were feuding at each other. So he was the guy that made the Machine Gun Kelly song that Machine Gun Kelly did about ripping Eminem apart. And then he went and did the Eminem song that Eminem wrote about ripping Machine Gun Kelly apart. So like she has good producers. She has great music behind her, and I mostly listen to her for the beats, I would have to say, for the music. Although the hilarity of her lyrics and the people she gets on them, the people that like guest with her, her music videos are absolutely hilarious. I mean, I kind of feel a little bit weird because, again, she is 16, and of course she's a rapper, she's a ghetto rapper, so the things that she wears, the things that she talks about, to like hear somebody who's 16 and watch somebody who's 16, you know, like twerk and stuff like that, is a little weird. You know, I gotta say, it can get a little uncomfortable, but it's hilarious,
It seems like a recurring Saturday Night Live character, and you can't believe this is real.
Well, it's a fucking train wreck, and you can't look away, right? Like, you just can't stop. But it's very entertaining, and those are two of my very guilty pleasures that are both controversial in their own different way, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, but just real quick, Kevin, do you know who 6ix9ine is? Have you heard of him?
I have, and I do, and the only reason why is, tangent here. For a little while, I lived out in California, and this girl that I worked with said, "Oh, my boyfriend's performing tonight. He's a rapper. He's a rapper. He's a rapper." I was like, "All right, cool." You know, like, I'm not going. You know, nothing against it, all respect and everything. And it turned out it was Tech N9ne when he was starting out.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So when, you know, East Coast shows up, I thought it was the same guy. I'm like, why is he out here? And then I realized, no, kind of close name, but not really.
Oh, Tech N9ne, Takeshi 6ix9ine. Okay, yeah. Well, he dropped the Takeshi part when he got super famous and started doing songs with, like, Kanye West and Nicki Minaj and stuff like that, right? So
yeah, so I thought it was someone like changing their name as they went along, got super confused, and then I realized what was going on.
Yeah, and Chris, just to hurt your brain a little more, he spells his name the number 6ix, the number 9ine, and then like some exclamation points and other stuff. But it's literally, and every time I ask my Google to play it, I'm like, you know, play 6ix9ine on Spotify, and it's like, okay, playing 6ix9ine on Spotify. Like, it's so funny.
I think I've seen pictures of this guy. Like, now that you mentioned, like, the 6ix9ine tattoo on his face or whatever.
Yeah, so he's of Mexican descent, or is actually Mexican. And yeah, he's got, like, rainbow hair and rainbow teeth and all that. I just love his gimmick because it's a gimmick. I don't care what he did with gangs because he probably didn't do anything with gangs. You know what I mean? But it's a gimmick, and it's a damn great gimmick. Like, for him, like, you know what I mean? Like, that made him millions of dollars. For a little while, he was the number one rapper out, from New York for a little while. Like, even 50 Cent did some music videos with him and was like, yo, this kid is up and coming. Like, people were on his side for a while. They were saying, like, you need to calm down and stop being such a friggin' child and you know, just telling everybody where you live and to come beef with you and you're a real N-word and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you need to stop that and grow up. But people were like, man, your music is on point, your social media game is on point, your image of yourself is on point. Like, he had all of those boxes ticked. He was just too much of a young, immature child and got himself in trouble by, like, he literally, one of the things that got him arrested, I think the final nail in the coffin, the thing that they were able to arrest him for, was he recorded a video of, like, on his phone of him and somebody else, like, robbing someplace or something like that, and then, like, sent it to somebody. And then, like, you know, he would post on social media, he'd be like, look at all these illegal guns in my house. Look at all these illegal drugs in my house. Look at all this illegal money I have. And so the government was just like, well, you're a dumbass. Mm-hmm. Basically.
Yeah, sounds like a winner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right, well, let's move on to our favorite singers. All right, Rich, start us off. Who's your favorite singers?
Oh, wow, like actual singers. Like actual singers, not just like artists, you mean? So singers.
Singers. Would be a little, like, yeah, vocalists, that's a little bit, you know, Yeah.
Wow, that's definitely a little harder. I would definitely have to go again. I mean, like, you know, Mick Jagger is amazing. Any of the Beatles, incredible. Definitely, man. I wish I had my picket stubs with me to help me run through this. But I mean, like, there's so many good artists out there that I can appreciate. Like, I'm very much into a whole lot of different eclectic music these days. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I hear so many artists that I've never heard of before. So I mean, that's definitely a hard one for me. I don't think I have any necessarily favorite singers anymore, unless I'm thinking back of, like, you know, what I grew up to like. And for me, there's a lot of, like, emo bands and stuff like that that I liked because I was in that era. But for me, it's more producers and DJs these days who go out and find talent that you may never heard of before, and you may only hear one or two songs of theirs, sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely pretty hard. I don't think I can narrow it down. Move on to somebody else, and I'll see if I can think of someone real quick.
Kev, do you have any favorite singers?
I got a couple of things here.
Okay.
There's a series on YouTube, not series, but, you know, random people doing it. And I think it was maybe Google or Alexa or Amazon, one of them, did the same thing where they take away the music from a song and just have the artist solo. And the Alexa or Google, whichever one, the idea is it only takes a voice. Tee-hee. Cue end. But the YouTube videos where they strip all the music away and do it, you'll have a new appreciation. My favorite so far have been Freddie Mercury and David Bowie.
Nice.
And you don't realize how good either of them are until you strip away all the music, and I was floored. I was just amazed.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to go back and listen to the full songs and everything. I always had respect for Chris Cornell of Soundgarden. Nice. Yep. Audioslave, and he had some solo stuff. The legend is that Chris Cornell, when he was learning how to, you know, sing and be in a band and all, he would just scream. And he would scream until his vocal cords changed to make it a note. And then he'd say, oh, well, I can hit that register now. Let me keep screaming and do more. So he had this incredible range that he kind of injured himself into.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rob Halford, and he cannot hit those notes anymore, except for once or twice per concert. But they will stagger, Judas Priest will stagger the songs out. So anything he has to hit a high note for, he has like three or four songs to rest in between before he has to hit another high note. But he still goes out there and tries.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. And,
there was, so earlier, geez, it was like January, February, I think, I was revisiting a movie that I remembered from my childhood called Rock and Roll. It was an animated movie from 83, and damn near the entire cast are musicians. And Debbie Harry is the female lead. And I didn't realize how much she could sing. I don't know why. I've been aware of Blondie my entire life, of course. But hearing her in this, maybe because it was a cartoon, so I don't have the visual of a person. It wasn't done like a concert. Of course, the audio is going to be incredible because it's a cartoon. You have to have good audio to go with it. I don't know what it was. But suddenly I have this newfound appreciation, 40 years later, to him here, for Debbie Harry. And I can't believe how amazing she is as a singer. And then you go into so much that Blondie did and what they added to MTV, to radio, to everything. I feel ridiculous, you know, because I've told people, I'm like, Blondie's amazing. They're like, you're aware you're a straight white male in your 40s, right? I'm like, I know, and I don't care. They're so good.
I feel like I need to watch this movie now. Just looking at some of the cast. And I don't know everybody, but
yeah.
Chris Wiggins.
It's a trip.
It
was like PG-13. I remembered it because I'm going through like all this stuff from 83. That's when I was five. My kid is five right now. So I'm like looking at things that would have come out when I was that age. And I remember this being on HBO. And HBO used to do like free weekends in the States. So we would just, yep, like record a ton of stuff. where they play commercials for everything. And somehow I remember HBO playing a commercial for this movie where the villain is trying to justify his actions. And he said, well, evil backwards is just live. And we all want to live, don't we? I remember that from 1983 somehow.
Nice.
So I tracked down the movie. It's out of print now. But I ended up finding the DVD for like cover, well, yeah, cover price, not comic, but you know, like original price, not blown up out of print price. It's phenomenal. It's such a ridiculous over top movie, and I love it.
I have to I have to say real quick that it is available in full on YouTube for free.
Yes, it is.
I just found it.
It's a pretty good transfer.
And it actually, the character design reminds me a lot of Goof Troop.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kind of weird, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, one of my favorite singers that, yeah, definitely can't sing like he used to is Meatloaf.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Bad Outta Hell is one of my favorite albums of all time. And I saw Meatloaf back in 2007. And yeah, he can't do it like he used to.
Like I saw Offspring the other day, and the lead singer of the Offspring has the same issue. Like, he can do some of the notes,
yeah,
but nothing even high. He can't do any of the screaming, the yelling, or like any of the like anything quick and loud. He couldn't do. He had to. You just let the crowd do it, basically.
Yeah.
Offspring, ridiculously underrated, underappreciated band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Social commentary alone, and they're treated as like some joke party band by people that are not listening to what they're actually saying.
They still look exactly the same, by the way. It is creepy, like, how much they still look the same. Like, their hair, they dress the same and everything. And unfortunately, they still talk like they're 20. Like, even their guitarist, I forget his name, was just like, you know, hey, ladies, who out there wants to fuck? Come back and show me your boobies after. And I was just like, dude, you're like 60. That's weird. Don't say that.
But he probably got quite a few of them going back there, though.
I don't know about quite a few, but maybe one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, enough for him anyway.
I don't know. I always find it weird when like older, like really older musicians do that sort of thing. Like, I went to see Sean Paul in Montreal a summer or two ago, and he's like 50 something now, and like he just wouldn't even let off of it. Like, at the end of every song, he was just like, hey ladies, show me your tits, like, show everybody your boobs, yeah, I like the boobs, come on ladies, strip down, like at the end of every single song. And it was just like, okay man, like once or twice it's like, I guess you're a rock star, you gotta do it, but like, I was like, you need to calm down, like, this is just weird now, man. Like, you're getting, like, it's Montreal. Like, half of these people are, like, 14. You know what I mean? Like, they're all using fake IDs getting into the club here. Like, let's just calm down. Know your audience.
Yeah. So, I'll just quickly run through my list. Kev already mentioned Freddie Mercury. Gordon Downie, Tragically Hip. I do like the lead singers of AC/DC, first Bon Scott, then Brian Johnson.
Not Axl Rose?
Not Axl Rose, no. I actually like Adele. I think she's a really good singer.
Oh, definitely. She's got some great talent.
Elton John. I really enjoy Elton John. Mm-hmm. Another singer that I at first kind of thought she was kind of a joke, but I guess with the movie and with everything, she's kind of got on my radar, and that's Lady Gaga. She's actually a very good singer.
Mm-hmm. She's being weird.
Yeah, I mean, she's this generation's Madonna.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sure. However anyone wants to take that, you're right.
Yeah, it's true.
Another great female singer, Canadian, and apparently she has a sitcom.
Jan Arden.
I did not know that.
Oh, wait, you were being serious?
Yeah.
I
love Jan Arden.
Oh yeah, what's is it sitcom? Called Jan?
Jan.
I think it's just called Jan, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. Is it only Canadian or?
I don't know. Maybe it's available somewhere in the States. I'm not
like
sure.
Like CBC or something. Well, she's Insensitive, right?
Yes, Insensitive, yeah. One of my favorite songs.
I'm just really glad that you didn't say Reba McEntire.
No. I
remember watching like TV after school, and I'd come home, and it would be her. Yeah, it would be Reba McEntire doing some performance from somewhere in St. John's, and I'm like, okay, get it over with. I want to see Saved by the Bell.
A few other quick ones here. Elvis Presley, Phil Collins, Neil Young, and Johnny Cash. All right, did everyone go through their list?
I just want to mention, too, that I kind of just thought of real quick, and they're both not really necessarily my favorites, but I feel like they Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
I love Frank Sinatra. Yeah. He may not be, you know, a classically amazing singer, but just his tone and the way that he sings, he's such a crooner, and I love, like, I loved him. My favorite musical of all time is Guys and Dolls. I loved that movie. It means a lot. I've got a lot of memories attached to it. It was my late father's first musical he ever showed me, the first musical that I can remember watching with him. And it's just such an amazing, amazing musical, amazing cast in that movie as well. And then the other one that I have to say, and I just saw, it's kind of funny, actually, I realized how actually good of a singer he is, even though you wouldn't think of it, but Eddie Murphy. I went back somehow going through YouTube the other day. I happened across. Well, yes, but also I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, he started making new music videos again, and he did one with somebody weird that was just, was it with Will Smith or, I couldn't believe it was featuring somebody that I was watching, and it was just like, oh, this person with Eddie Murphy, and I was just like, what? Eddie Murphy? Like, but he doesn't make music anymore. And then it totally was him from like 5 years ago. He started making a few music videos a couple of years ago again. And yeah, he's actually a really good singer. He did, they were kind of like reggae, very reggae sounding. So that was very interesting. Yeah, it was quite cool. I like when you get to hear someone sing who you didn't know could. Like when Bruce Willis was like, I'm going to be a singer. And you're like, you know what? Like, you're not that bad. I mean, you're not great, but you're not that bad. Like, it's interesting to see different sides of people, different sides of an artist who you didn't know could sing, or an actor who you didn't know could sing, or, you know, whatever, you know, it's just very like even Bradley Cooper is a great example from that movie that you're talking about. Like his voice in that movie is really good, and I know he went through a lot of training to be able to sing. He obviously started off with a good bass, but like he's surprisingly good, you know. So I just love that sort of thing.
Excellent. So we have gone through the lists, right?
Sure.
Okay. Some quick questions now. Do you guys play music? Like, as in, do you play an instrument or anything like that? I do not. I wish I'd learned. I really, like, listening to music, watching people play music. You know, like my brother-in-law, Sebastian, he used to be our sound engineer on the Random Nerdness podcast. He's really musically talented. Like, he plays the guitar, he can play the piano, that sort of thing. And I'm so jealous of people that can do that, especially the people that can do multiple instruments. Like I really have an appreciation for the piano. I have an appreciation for the fiddle because my grandpa was a fiddle player. And my grandpa could play the fiddle. He could play the guitar, the ukulele.
No banjo though.
He had a banjo.
Feels like that's the missing one in there.
he did have a banjo. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and there's something else I'm forgetting. But anyway, drums are fun to play with. Sebastian, he doesn't play the drums, but he has a drum set in his basement, so every once in a while I play. Or I try, and then I get yelled at by my sister because I'm making too much noise. But do you guys play any instruments? Rich, do you play anything?
Well, I've got my my Stratocaster downstairs in the basement that I use with Rock Band 3. I'm really talented with that. Definitely, I got a drum set again. That's Rock Band 2. I was pretty good with that one. so no would be the answer.
It's funny though how some people do think that they are really playing instruments when they play those though.
Yeah, well, they did come out with Rocksmith, which I don't understand how it works, but apparently you could hook up a real guitar to it, and it would quote-unquote theoretically teach you how, like, give you the basics of guitar playing.
That would be
so
cool.
So it's kind of like an interactive, like they gamified guitar lessons sort of thing. So it's like you take Rock Band and you mix it with a real guitar and much, much, much simpler instructions, and you get Guitarsmith. I believe Downs played it for a little while. He was into it, and he was saying that it was interesting, although not fully authentic. Like, it wasn't like you were actually necessarily learning, you know, amazing things. You would never become an incredible guitar player, but it did teach the very, very basic things, I believe, is what he said to me. And this is going back like a decade.
and that is cool. Like, I have a lot of respect for people. Like again, talking about my brother-in-law, you know, he gives guitar lessons. Like, that's something he does. And I have a lot of respect for people that can do that, that they can pass along that knowledge to someone else. And then who knows, you know, they may take it and, you know, become, you know, the next big thing.
Or a music producer, because, I mean, you don't necessarily, even if you play instruments, there are tons of music producers out there who can play instruments, mm-hmm. who've created some of the most iconic music and the most iconic songs that you've ever heard of, and you don't know who they are, simply mm-hmm. because they're the ones creating the music, they're the ones putting the songs together, coordinating all of these different layers of different instruments. And then having a real, quote unquote, a real star come in and just sing over it. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't even have to necessarily be an artist. You can still be, and especially nowadays with computers and GarageBand and Fruit Loops and, you know what I mean? Like, you can do that sort of stuff with an iPad now. Mm. You know what I mean? You can hook your guitar up to an iPad, learn how to play, and create your own music within minutes. It's crazy, right? So, yeah, you never know with passing on knowledge like that, how that could work, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Kevin, do you play any instruments?
Not currently. It's funny you mentioned Rock Band. This will come up shortly. So, I'll preface it with saying, if there's anything I've learned as I've gotten older, is that I think differently. I think a lot of us, you know, geek pop culture people and all do. And sometimes my mind doesn't take a straight path to something. It kind of, like, you know, takes a shortcut through the woods and around the corner there and, you know, cuts through the driveway and parking lot. And then I get there. I'm just not taking the same path you get there. So I played sax in the school band.
Oh, I love saxophone.
From 6th grade until 12th, and I probably touched it twice after graduation. Mm. I enjoyed it. I would try. I enjoyed my friends in band. I enjoyed going places with them and all. But something never clicked with me. Mm-hmm. I could read music. I could read it. I knew where the notes were on the sax, but I couldn't connect to make anything matter or sound good. I was in all the plays at school, too, and would have singing parts. And something, I had one, we did Oliver, and I played Fagin. And I actually cared and was interested in, like, the character and watched the movie musical and had something to build off of. And the funny thing is, or to bring up Rock Band, it wasn't until we got Rock Band that a lot of stuff clicked with me, and I don't know why. It was Rock Band that did it. But I think they should take Rock Band into schools to help educate kids on music. Because seeing the notes, the buttons on screen, helped me understand the math of music. I'm like, I can predict what I got to
play next.
Like
beats per minute and stuff?
What's that?
Like beats per minute and whatnot, you mean?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I can predict what I'm going to... I don't need to necessarily follow the colors here and the notes and all red, blue, green, do that. I can predict, based on the way the music is sounding, what I'm going to be playing next anyways.
Yeah, guitar, I would agree with that. Whatever. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You almost got a Zen thing of knowing where it was going next.
I definitely understood, maybe not music in general, but definitely the songs that I had on those games, because I bought a lot of those games. Like, I had Rock Band 2, Rock Band 3, I had the Rock Band Beatles edition, I had the... like the I had two or three Guitar Heroes. Like, I was big into those for a while, and I spent a lot of money on it too, like buying downloadable songs, and it really does, you're right, it does help you understand the music a little better and ingrain it into your mind as well a little more, because like there's certain songs where I'll hear them now and I can close my eyes and literally start playing it. I can see the notes passing yeah. by in my head still to this day. I'm like, okay, the beat is going to do this, right?
Like, I've never sat down to a drum kit, but if I did, I know how Audioslave Like a Stone goes on drums. I know the kick, the snare, like, I know how that goes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because now I can break it down. Now I know the math of it. And yeah. also, I think one thing for Rock Band, because part of the aspect of it was to make it a party. You mm-hmm. got some friends over, you know, you swap out, you're going to play guitar, this one I'll sing, and you'll do drums, and then we'll all change and all. But what you ended up happening is everyone got a favorite song that they could nail.
Yeah.
And it was one that you could bring something to. So everyone ended up getting songs where you're like, wow, why did you sing that song so well? And you're like, I don't know, for some reason I get that song and it gets me. Mm-hmm. And I have a passion and emotion that comes out of it. So I can sing that better than anyone else because I'm bringing something else to it. And I never mm-hmm. realized how much, like, I understand passion in writing. I understand passion in drawing, but I never got the passion of singing, of music, till then. I'm like, oh, I can do this because I'm in a place in my mind when I'm singing this song that no mm-hmm. one else is going to be. So I'm going to yeah. sing better than anyone else for it. To go bigger with it. Etta James At Last. I'll jokingly call it a Yoda song. You don't try to sing that song. You do or you do not.
Nice.
If you can't sing that song and nail it, don't even try.
That's funny.
For American Idol or The Voice or anything like that. If you're not going to nail that song, pick something else.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The funny thing, before we get too far away from Rock Band, is you said you were mentioning it's like a party game or whatever. So when I had those games... I was living in a bachelor apartment downtown by myself, at that point in my life. That was my single few years. I was single. And it's, my sister used to come over like once a week and, you know, we'd get dinner and we would hang out. It was the time in our lives when we were actually connecting and we stopped fighting and, you know, we'd both moved out of the house. So now we had nobody but each other sort of thing. Right. Like, obviously my parents are still alive, but like, we connected with each other more, and Rock Band brought us together. And it's funny because she knew that I didn't have a whole lot of friends that came over all the time. I mean, I did, but, you know, usually it was just to go out drinking at the bar next door sort of thing, right? But she knew that I didn't have a lot of friends that came by to play that game with me. So for Christmas one year, she got me a microphone stand so that I could play the guitar and sing at the same time. Which is hilarious. And then I actually later used that same microphone stand to help with my first podcast years with Chris.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, roundabout way, she helped me with podcasting as well. Although I'm sure she wouldn't want to take credit for that.
No, that's awesome. I got to say, Kevin, I really envy you. Like, I really wish, like, my school didn't have band. Like, that is something I wish they had, and I wish I would have been able to partake in that, because that would have been awesome.
I agree. I don't think my school had band either, and I am also very jealous. I will listen to anything with this, especially a saxophone these days. Like, anybody listening, look up saxophone house music. You will just die in amazement at how incredible saxophone house music is, or sax house, sax flute. Sax and Flute House, also on Spotify, is incredible. Like, it's just so relaxing, and it's so incredible.
Well,
I love it.
Being a Star Trek fan, like, one of the things that I always loved on Star Trek was you would see people play instruments. Like, Data mm-hmm. played the violin, Riker played the trombone, and, of course, Picard had his flute. But one of the I was on a group, one of the Facebook Star Trek groups, and someone was saying, you know, why is Riker playing a trombone? Isn't, you know, that's the lamest jazz instrument you could play, blah blah blah. And I'm like, he plays it because the actor Jonathan Frakes actually plays the trombone. Like that's really funny. They brought that into the show because that's something he actually does. I don't think Data, Brent Spiner, plays the violin. I know Picard doesn't play the flute in real life, but Commander Riker playing the trombone, that was real. He actually did that. All right, so another quick question for you boys. I'm sure you guys have went to karaoke night at some point, somewhere. What song do you sing when you go to karaoke? For me, the song that I'm probably best known for is to sing Love Shack by the B-52s. That is my song that I sing. And I do have to have someone, like a female, accompanying me to do the female parts. I can't do the female parts and the guy part. I do the guy part. I just want to clarify that. Kevin, do you karaoke, and what do you karaoke?
Not in forever, but I've been before and been nervous and everything and not wanting to do one that, you know, everyone does.
Yeah.
But you know what I like, and I'll go all out and hurt my voice and hurt myself for, is Danzig's Mother. And he is like the something else I was listening to this week said he's the gothic Elvis, and I think that's the best way to describe the way he sings. He very much has that drawl. You can almost hear the lip curl and everything. He's just singing about different topics, though. But I will go nuts on that song, hit notes I shouldn't be able to, and just have a blast, and then be wrecked after.
Nice. All right, Rich, do you have a karaoke song?
If I'm doing one by myself, I usually go with a Kid Rock song because I love Kid Rock. I love the fact that he, like, I can choose so many of his different songs based on my own mood because he runs, like, he goes from rap to, you know, nu metal to hard rock to, you know, country, soul, R&B, and blues. Like, he just runs through every single genre of music pretty much. And I love that about him. One of the ones, the first ones that I did when me and my wife started dating again a few years ago before we got married and we were going out with friends, is I did, and she hated this. She doesn't like Kid Rock, but I stood up there in front of all of her friends who I was just meeting at the time. And I sang to her, not to anybody else, not for anybody else, but I sang to her Lonely Road of Faith by Kid Rock. And I was like, by the end of the song, I was actually like tearing up a little bit just because, like, to me, that song meant a lot at the time because I had at the time recently been through a lot and had been very lonely, although not being alone for a very long time. I was very lonely and she was my saving light. She helped me through that and it meant a lot to me at the time. I'm going to fucking start tearing up now. But so that one was very important, and I love Kid Rock in general. But if I'm going with my wife, it's pretty much a guarantee that every single time we go to do karaoke, either my wife will suggest it and we'll do it, or one of her friends will tell us that we need to do it because we do it every time anyway. But Barbie Girl by Aqua. She does Barbie Girl. I do Ken. I'm a huge Aqua fan. I love them. And that song especially is just hilarious and fun and easy to do, you know, at karaoke. It's easy. Everybody loves it because, you know, nostalgia, 90s. So it's a great song.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's move on to our final topic of our final point of the night. I just want to say that we were going to do our top five favorite songs of all time. I think we're going to save that for a separate episode. Because I think that one we could really flesh out quite a bit. There's a lot we could talk about with that. So we are going to end this episode with our top five most played songs according to our music app. So, like, yeah, if you have iTunes or Apple Play, whatever it's called now, you know, whatever that list is, if it's your MP3 player, if it's your computer, you know, what it could be YouTube, whichever list you want to go with. I have two lists. So we could just rifle them off about what our top five most played songs are.
Sure.
Does someone want to go first, or should I kick it off?
You can kick it off.
All right. And I want to stress, like, I have an iPhone, right? So my Apple Play on my iPhone is very limited right now because it only has, basically, since the movie Bohemian Rhapsody came out, I've been downloading Queen song or Queen CDs, and it's mostly Queen stuff. So my top five list from my iPhone is all Queen songs. Well, one isn't a Queen song, but it's a Freddie Mercury song. So number one is Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Number two is Spread Your Wings by Queen. Number three is Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy by Queen. Number four is Fight From the Inside by Queen. But it's that is actually sang or sung by Roger Taylor, the drummer, not by Freddie Mercury. And the last song on my top five for my iPhone is Mr. Bad Guy, which is a Freddie Mercury solo song. Now, I'm going back to my BlackBerry, because I use my old BlackBerry as basically my MP3 player. So, number one, it's a Snoop Dogg song. I'm not sure which one it is. It's track 9 from Doggy Style. I'm not exactly sure which one that is. Number 2 is Empty 5, which is a song by The Smalls. They are an Alberta band back in the 90s. Number 3 is track number 7 from Doggy Style from Snoop Dogg. Number 4 is All of These Lives by Daughtry. And number 5 is again a song from The Smalls called Dan Diddle Anna. And that's my top 5 on my BlackBerry, which is what I If we're listening to music like in the backyard or whatever, I'll hook up speakers to my BlackBerry and that's the music I'll listen to, because I've got, I want to say, like 1600 songs on my BlackBerry. So out of 1600 songs, those were my top 5 on that list. And honestly, I don't know why some of them are on there, but they are. All right, Kevin, your top 5, sir, on your music app.
Okay, so I'm going off of my Spotify one, which I actually kind of screwed up the algorithm because over the past 2 weeks, I was outside grilling and my neighbors were outside, so I didn't want to play my usual metal mix, so I did like a safe hard rock mix.
Yeah.
And it screwed up my algorithm, so kind of mad. But officially. So at number 5, I have Black Number 1 from Typo Negative. Now, Black Number 1, when I heard it as a kid, seemed like a very gothic, doom, gloom, metal, scary, everything.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, I realized the lead singer, Peter Steele, had a unique and sarcastic and wicked sense of humor. And Black Number 1 actually refers to the color of hair dye of this girl they're talking about in the song that wanted to pretend to be all dark and mysterious, and it's all fake.
Hmm.
So I absolutely love the song, like knowing more about it as I do now. Shockingly, I have a lot of Exodus on here, and Exodus is the thrash band that Kirk Hammett was in before Metallica.
Okay.
So it's early 80s, and I cannot think of, like, I got 2 or 3 in my top 10, and I don't know the songs that well, so I can't believe I play them that often. But I'm rolling with it.
Okay.
So the highest one I have up here is Fate's Warning. I got two bands on here. Sorry, I have Exodus the Band, which is Kirk Hammett. Then I have a band called Fate's Warning with the song Exodus. That's why it's showing up.
Oh, okay.
So mine's all over the place. I have Anthrax in My World, which is not one of my favorite Anthrax songs, but apparently the one I played the most. So I'm curious about that. And then my number one by far most played is Cerise, which is the first song I ever heard from Ghost. And if either of you are curious after this, the video, which is on YouTube, would be a good starting point. Cerise has done... The video is like if the... I got to describe it. I was going to try to simplify it, but it's a grade school, high school talent show. And they have kids like 11, 12 on stage dressed as the band performing the song.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's a young girl in the front row that is awakening, we'll say, by watching this band. And as the music progresses, they're speaking directly to her. They're trying to bring her into the world. We are the only ones that can save you. And she's reaching for them, and her parents are holding her back. You will not be corrupted by this music, by these people. And they try to drag her out of there, and then she goes full carry, and that's when the song kicks up.
Cool.
I saw the video, give me chills. I'm like, I'm into this band. I am all in.
All right. And that's your list?
Yep, that's my top five, as far as Spotify is telling me.
All right, Rich, your top five, sir.
All right, so I found through some hard work, I was able to finally figure out how to find my top tracks, top played tracks and whatnot. And I'm assuming we're going, it doesn't say all time, but I've gone, it says long-term years in brackets. So I'm assuming that's at least for 1 to 2 years. So I'll start with number five. And the funny part, too, is if you actually go 6 months, 4 months, or weeks, the algorithm is totally messed up because of my part-time Ubering. Because when I'm Ubering, I put on saxophone house, flute house, tropical house music, or electro jazz and electro swing, just because they're good kind of musics to have in the background. Usually most people don't complain about it. It's just kind of like new age elevator music. So that really messed up my algorithm. So I kind of had to go back to the long-term years. But so the number five I have here is Bad Baby, These Hoes. And it's actually spelled hoes is H-E-A-U-X. So these hoes ain't nothing about these hoes. Then number four is League of Legends, Flash Funk, featuring Marshmello. And my understanding of League of Legends is it's basically an album done by a whole bunch of world-famous DJs, just kind of came together and just did songs together. It's kind of like a who's who of world-famous DJs. And that obviously is one of my favorite songs because I love Marshmello, so that was my favorite song off of that album. Number three is Bad Baby, again, Habit Remix featuring Yibin Namir, Rich the Kid, and Asian Doll, which the music video for that song is quite hilarious. And then number two is Bad Baby, yet again, Gucci Flip Flops featuring Lil Yachty, and that song is just so freaking catchy. You will never get it out of your head. And the music video is actually quite interesting because the way that they do it is it's almost, what was the name of that movie that came out in like the mid-90s that was like in the 50s? And like it was filmed in black and white, and they made it seem like it was in the 50s. Like they made it very like Leave It to Beaver-esque.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon was in it. Tobey Maguire.
So it's very much, yes, that's it. So it's very much like that in a sense where it's filmed in black and white, but then like, you know, they're watching TV and the TV is in color And then, like, once, you know, like, the girl realizes that she wants to be the girl on the TV, then she goes into the TV and goes color. I don't know, weird stuff. But it's filmed, like, in black and white, and they're all dressed up in the 50s. Her and her family on the couch are all 50s dressed up, black and white. And then, you know, there's color in the TV sort of thing. It's just really interesting how they did it. And then my number one song, and this is probably actually my favorite song over the past few years, just in general, is Billy by 6ix9ine. And it is the most ridiculous, over-the-top, wannabe gangster hard rap song. Like, it very much harkens back to the fuck the police era of gangster rap, the NWA. Like, if you were to listen to it, you'd be like, oh yeah, this guy is clearly NWA for this generation. And it's just, it's really funny because it really encapsulates everything that is 6ix9ine in one song. And especially if you watch the music video, it's everything that is him. It's everything that is his gimmick, all in a cute little 2 minute package, because it's a really short song. It's only about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. And that's with a 30 second intro as well. So, yeah, that is my top five songs. And please feel free to make fun of me online.
It's all good, man. No judgments here. All right, well, before we go, I want to do a quick honorable mentions. I forgot a couple bands. Aerosmith is one of my favorite bands. I totally forgot to mention
Great
them.
Live show, too.
Yeah, I love Aerosmith. And Live, the band, is one of my favorite bands.
Well, I just missed them the other day. They were here in Ottawa a couple days ago for Blues Fest, and I didn't go and see them, unfortunately.
And I really like Everclear and Silverchair. Like, very mid-90s bands. I love those
Silverchair,
guys.
Silverchair, wow.
For sure. Yeah, oh, definitely.
Silverchair, Frog Stomp, their first album, is still one of my favorite albums of all time.
See, it's so funny, though, is you keep saying Silverchair, and I keep hearing Silverstein, because I very much liked Silverstein when I was younger. Who, Kevin, I'm not sure if you know any much about the screamo genre. Because it's kind of, like, adjacent to, like, hard metal, like, thrash and you know, hard metal. Alexis on Fire.
Screamo phase.
Oh, did you? Okay, cool. Yeah. Screamo was big as well for me for a very long time. And I actually just got to see Alexis on Fire the other day. They are on a 2019 reunion tour now, which was absolutely incredible. So, yeah.
Excellent. And speaking of reunion tours, I saw this on the news yesterday. Apparently the Backstreet Boys are doing a reunion tour.
I was just at their concert the other day.
Really?
Like, yeah, I was there.
Like, with your wife took you there? Or do you like the Backstreet Boys?
No, I like them. I was at their first concert in Ottawa in 1997. I was at their first show. My sister had bought tickets for her and her... Well, everybody's parents bought tickets for her and her friends to go, and one of her friends couldn't go, so my mom forced her to ask me to go. And of course, me being, I think I was like, let's see, 16 at the time, or no, like 13, sorry, 13, 13 or 14 at the time that they came to Ottawa, I of course was like, well, I don't want to go to that, you know. And she I found out that one of her friends that was still going with her was the friend that I happened to have a crush on at the time. So I was like, oh, I mean, yeah, I'll totally go, but not because I like them, but just because, you know, like, you shouldn't waste a ticket.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I got to go the other day in Ottawa. There was, like, I would say somewhere between 10 plus thousand people in a very small open space, because it takes place in front of our Canadian National War Museum. And it was really, really good. It was hilarious because every time they talked about, they'd be like, all right, guys, this one's from our new album. You could literally hear 10,000 people go, like, it was so, nobody wanted to hear any of their new music. And then every time that you hear the one single first note of one of their older songs, everybody in the crowd would just scream their heads off, including the guys, right? Because, I mean, like, albeit, like, when I was younger, it was kind of a faux pas to like a boy band.
Yes.
You know, and admittedly, yeah. I would actually rather go see the New Kids on the Block tour that's going on right now, because New Kids on the Block is touring right now, get this, with, I believe it's Tiffany, Two Live Crew, Salt and Pepper. I believe Boyz II Men might have joined them for one or two dates.
I think Tone Loc is on it, too.
Yeah, Tone Loc was on it for a couple of tour dates. They had Cyndi Lauper for a few tour dates. So they're calling it the best of the 80s tour or something like that. And I would kill to go see that. But, yeah, no, Backstreet Boys back together again. Their banter was hilarious. They were really funny. They were apologizing for not, you know, coming back and being on tour because they were busy having children and stuff like that. They were making fun of how old they all were. It was really quite hilarious and entertaining. It was a great show, definitely.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, like you said, when during that time, like, my sister listened to, like, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys stuff, so I couldn't listen to them. But I got to admit, you know, Backstreet's Back, whenever that would come on the radio, I was okay with listening to that.
They have a couple of songs that, like, even haters have to kind of appreciate. And the really kind of crazy part is, so I subscribed to YouTube Premium not too long ago for a test, like a free trial or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have their own documentaries, movies, TV shows, blah, 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 blah. And one of them is called Ron Perlman Story. Although I could be wrong, or Lou Pearlman, that's it, Lou Pearlman Story. And it's about the manager who basically created all of this second phase of boy bands, being like O-Town, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, LFO, and a few more. He's one guy, and he basically, like, long story short, stole a bunch of their money, didn't give them what they deserved, and allegedly tried to and or possibly did molest multiple members of different bands, as well as had hidden cameras in his mansion, in the bathrooms, the sauna, the pool, and the tanning beds. And, you know, he had the male bands there and also female bands there would come and stay and record all their music videos and everything there. So if anybody has YouTube Premium, go out there, check out the documentary or watch the trailer. I believe it's called The Lou Pearlman Story. It's really, really interesting, although it's slightly depressing at the same time, but a good documentary nonetheless.
Yeah, I was going to say, yikes, that guy sounds like a real piece of shit.
Yeah, well, he's dead now, so it's okay. Okay.
I had a couple honorable mentions I wanted to throw out there, again, because I completely forgot about them. Bare Naked Ladies. Really love Bare Naked Ladies. And Motley Crue. I'm actually surprised none of us mentioned The Crew. Motley Crue's awesome.
Oh, and that new movie, The Dirt, was incredible as well.
I really liked that. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I have one last final quick question. Before we end this, and I would like to know if anybody has ever been into the musical comedy genre, i.e. Lil Dicky, i.e. you know, Cheech and Chong when they were singing, or, you know, Weird Al Yankovic, people like that. I mean, I personally was huge into Weird Al. I love him. I saw him in concert twice in my life. I believe he was the first concert or one of the first concerts I remember seeing. And I saw him again later when I was in my my 20s, and I got to see him on Mushrooms. And that was real interesting. Let me tell you, being in the front row and having him dance on my lap while high on Mushrooms was certainly an experience.
Oh, yeah. Weird Al was big in my house. When 1994, we did a tour of Universal Studios, my family and I. Like, we went to California for our spring break. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the Universal tour, blah, 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 and then we're kind of look ahead, and it was Weird Al. Like, Weird Al was on our tour with his really hot girlfriend, like super hot girlfriend. Anyway, long story short, my sister got her picture taken with Weird Al, and he was a super nice guy, like really friendly.
Yeah,
guy.
He's so nice. It's ridiculous. I've heard, and I mean, every time you see him do something live or an interview or whatever, he's just so happy.
Oh, yeah.
So nice. Like, he takes his fame so, like it's just like, he puts his heart out there on his shoulder, and he's just so genuine.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean.
And I love his parodies, but I also love his original stuff too, because he does do a few original songs. Like, there's this one, I think it's called I Don't Think She Loves Me Anymore. Mm-hmm. And basically the whole song is like...
Funny him, feeling you don't love me anymore?
Yeah, something
maybe
like that.
You don't love me anymore. Yeah, it's
yeah,
good.
And basically the song is him like describing ways his girlfriend's been trying to kill him, but he's too mm-hmm. stupid to realize that well, she's trying to kill him.
Even like the drive-through song that he did... as well, like that was an original one. Yeah. Albuquerque's hilarious, and it's like a 9-minute song. But even his polka, like his polka songs oh, yeah. that he does every yeah. time, yeah. where he does, he like parodies, you know, kind of the chorus of famous songs, yep. and he'll do like a 3-minute one, and he'll do 15 or 20 songs. Like those alone are great, especially for like a road trip. Every time I go on a road trip. Especially with our buddy Eric, we go on concert road trips with him, and he becomes our DJ. He always throws all of those in the mix because you get to hear, you know, the chorus of all those songs, and then you hear them in your head for the next like 12 hours. But you also get to have the fun polka-ness of it.
Nice.
Kev, do you like any of the comedy musings of Weird Al or others?
Yeah, the funny thing was because Chris was asking for ones we forgot, and I was going to bring up some geek ones, but it kind of falls into this comedy because there's a subsection of rap called Nerdcore.
Oh, yeah, I love Nerdcore, or Nintendo Core as well. Nintendo Core is a subsection of Metalcore, I believe, which is really cool.
MC Front a lot is hysterical and wonderful. Comes out bald head, big nerd glasses with tape and little pocket protector, shirt and tie, and is an amazing rapper. I like I Fight Dragons, which their biggest thing is they do the theme song for the Goldbergs.
Oh, wow.
But they have some fantastic shows or songs. A lot of chiptune, which has taken like video game music and reworking it to work for songs. Jonathan Colton, who did the music for the Portal video games, but my favorite from him is called Re Your Brains, and it's sung as an inter-office memo during a zombie invasion. Fantastic song. And one I discovered last year is from a band called Ninja Sex Party. The song is Danny Don't You Know, and it is a man in his 30s singing to himself in high school. And
wow.
It's one of the funniest and yet most inspirational songs I've ever heard. Love it so much.
Interesting.
There's a video for it, and then there's a live version from Conan O'Brien show, and they're slightly different, and I don't know which one I like more.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right. Well, yeah, this was a great episode. Like I said, I think we're going to do our top five favorite songs of all time in a future installment because I think that, you know, there's so much that we can talk about for that. But, all right. Well, before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet? Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me every day with a theme-based new posts over at teamhellions.com. Like the Team Hellions page on Facebook, at Team Hellions on Twitter, or at Kevin Hellions on Instagram.
Excellent. And Rich, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me occasionally guesting here. Also on my buddy's podcast, Graveyard Shift. That's with our friend Mike King. And ever so occasionally as well on my own podcast, Pop Chatter. I've had some issues lately with technical issues. And by lately, I mean for the past 10 years of my entire podcasting career. So, you know, those come out slowly but surely. And eventually we're going to launch a new show that is a spinoff of The Graveyard Shift. We've already got some episodes recorded. We're just kind of waiting for the right time to launch it and the right way to launch it. So look forward to that soon.
Excellent. This podcast, The Pop Culture Pub, is based on a group that is on Facebook called The Pop Culture Pub. Be sure to check that out. Request to join. I'm sure I will approve it. It's a good group on Facebook to be a part of. So going forward, we got some interesting episodes that we will be doing here. We've got a wrestling episode coming up with Kevin taking the helm of that.
Oh, can't wait, brother.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Then we're going to be doing a Geek Wars episode where we talk about geek disagreements and what exactly happened. And then some other ideas have been floating around. One is bring that TV show back, where we list off some TV shows that we want to see brought back. You know, they may have been canceled or they may have simply ended the original run. It is a thing now where, you know, TV shows, I mean, Beverly Hills 90210 is coming back. It's, you know.
Wait, what? What do you mean is coming? Has they brought it back like 5, 10 years ago, didn't they?
The original
cast.
Come back
again.
The original cast from, like, the 90s.
Oh, my fucking God. Except for the one that's dead now.
Yes, unfortunately, Luke Perry won't be there, but, yeah.
You know what, though? His son is a great wrestler. Put a lot of talent into that kid.
So, yeah, bring that TV show back. That is one of one we will be doing. DC versus Marvel and Amalgam Comics. That is an episode that's down the pike. And also, as I mentioned, our top five favorite songs. But one that I want to do is called The Greatest Sacrifice, where we list off pop culture characters who died and made the ultimate sacrifice. So anyway, those are coming in the not-too-distant future. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and Mr. Kevin Decent, and Mr. Richard Reeder, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to this episode, which I'm not entirely sure I'm going to... It's either called What's Your iTunes or Bytunes, I'm not sure. And yeah, this was a fun discussion, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.